This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. If you hadn't seen it before, you may well have seen it by now. Renaissance painter Leonardo da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper gained even more popularity, if that's possible, with the publication not long ago of Dan Brown's novel The Da Vinci Code. Christian art historian Elizabeth Lev sat down with me for a quick look at how Christ's institution of the Eucharist at the Last Supper has been depicted throughout the ages.
The Last Supper, like many of these great moments in the Passion cycle, is a very, very old image. The use of the Last Supper in the way that has come to our attention through the Da Vinci Code is something that began in the 14th century. As far as we know, it's in the 1300s in the Church of 1350, circa, in the Church of Santa Croce, a Franciscan church in Florence, that we have the first Last Supper to be painted in a refectory. And it was painted by one of Giotto's best students, whose name was Taddeo Gaddi. And it is stretched out across the wall the same way that eventually Leonardo's painting would be. And Leonardo's painting has to be thought of as a long progression. I mean, from 1350 to 1495 is quite a bit of time and quite a bit of evolution for the image of the Last Supper. But the important thing about this image is that it becomes a stock in trade for a refectory. It becomes the image that goes in the place where monks, particularly religious, will sit and eat their three communal meals a day. They eat these meals in silence, with this image in the background to remind them of, you know, the most famous meal in history. One of the things that I found particularly inappropriate about the Last Supper and the way it was portrayed in the Da Vinci Code, and something that I think is very appropriate to think about in a Lenten reflection, because after all, the monks are sort of living a lifetime of Lent, is that the reason why this image, which is usually surmounted by a crucifixion, by the way, is put into these refectories has to do with the monastic life. I mean, these men, who the option of martyrdom isn't really that open after the 4th century AD. I mean, most of the martyrs, martyrdom is not that easy to come by once Diocletian's edicts are over. But there are still many, many people who want to give their lives to God in the most complete and total way they can. And it involves, in this case, the monasticism involves dying to oneself. So those men who are sitting at that table, or the women, many of them show up in the refectories of religious sisters, these men and women have opted out of being able to choose what you do in the morning, things that you and I take for granted. Being able to choose what you do, choose what you have for breakfast, pick out your own clothes, get married, have children, leave a legacy of a family. They die to all that, and they live their lives completely for Christ. So when they sit in front of that painting and they see Jesus and the apostles stretched out in front of them three times a day, it's a reminder of their commitment to follow Christ's passion from, you know, not in a blaze of glory like St. Lawrence or St. Stephen or one of our dramatic martyrs, but in a long, everyday renewal of a commitment to die to themselves to live for Christ. So this is one of the great beauties of these paintings.
Would the Last Supper have been among the themes brought out also on the catacomb walls here in Rome?
The Last Supper, actually, it does not show up in the very early painting in the catacombs. Mm. It shows up in a later stage of painting. For reasons that we aren't really sure, the Christological cycle starts out really trying to avoid images of Christ's passion. The earliest images in the catacombs that deal with Christ are the three wise men, the nativity, the miracles. But the story of the Last Supper, it starts, Christ before Pilate is often where the story just sort of peters out. And that's already in the 4th century. So it's maybe a difficulty of having to put all the figures together and being able to narrate the story with, you know, which one is Judas and which one is Peter and which one is John. But for some reason, this image doesn't actually show up until you start to have actual panel painting in Christianity.
How popular was it, for example, to depict the Last Supper scene in churches? I'm thinking here in Rome in particular.
Well, the Last Supper scene itself shows up in the huge painting cycles. And when the walls of the church are painted, which starts to come in and around, Leo the Great has the walls painted in St. Peter's in the 5th century. When St. Peter's and St. Paul's and St. John Lateran have the big, huge cycles going along the side, then they start to show the Last Supper. It's just kind of a regular part of the cycle, of the stories of Christ, which mirror the stories of the Old Testament. And there's a whole kind of program for painting. But it's in this Renaissance era that we really see the separation of this one story and the glorification of this one story and an intense meditation on the part of the greatest artists that live of this in this era to really bring out the mortal element, the human element in the story, to bring out the divine and mystical element in the story. And each artist has a different way of approaching it.
Going back just quickly to the Leonardo painting,
I would like to note just a quick note about the placement of Judas, which maybe is obvious to most of your listeners, but it's always been, and it's again a very good Lenten moment and very, very well thought out by Leonardo da Vinci, the knot of Judas and Peter and John, which are the three different reactions to Christ's announcement. And John, who knows it's not him, is unthinkable, absolutely is sort of calm, drawn back, but not possible. Peter, the bluster, and I'd never betray you, and yet the man who will deny Christ. And Judas, the one that we all think, oh, he's the bad guy, always pushed into our space. You always know it's Judas because he's always closest to us, because we are far more like Judas than even Peter, and certainly far more like Judas than ever John. And that's a very important part that all of these paintings have in common.
Elizabeth Lev is a professor of Christian art and architecture at Duquesne University's Rome campus.